You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, Reggie Miller a little bit later on. From the bubble, had basketball last night. Lakers look good, playing defense. LeBron playing defense. And they pick up the victory, go up 2-1, beating the Rockets. The Heat close out the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll look at the fallout from the Bucks' early exit here. Tonight, Raptors-Celtics, that's game 6. Clippers and Nuggets will be game 4. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. McLovin has the honors of coming up with a poll question. Ethan, of course, will have stats of the day. We got a play of the day coming up as well. The Bucks put up a decent fight without the Greek Freak, but the Miami Heat overwhelmed them, knocked them out of the Eastern Conference semis last night. And the reigning MVP was out with an ankle injury. I know people thought maybe you could hold out hope that he would have this inspirational appearance and he would try to play. And I said, you got to look at long term here because he is an unrestricted free agent after next season. I want to make sure he understands that we're in it for the long haul with him. Now, the best way to show him that is you want to make sure you protect him from himself because you weren't going to win that series. You were not better than the Miami Heat. Now, what do you do in the offseason to help him? Because he says he wants to stay. He wants to win championships. And I don't know if he wants to stay. He said all the right things last night. But I knew that you don't want to exacerbate an injury. That's not going to help the situation at this point. But the Bucks go back to the drawing board. And building a champion is not easy because can you get free agents who want to go to Milwaukee? Do you have to make trades? What about the draft? You struck gold by finding the Greek Freak in the middle of the first round. I thought that Chris Paul would have been a great player for Milwaukee. You didn't want to pay Malcolm Brogdon, which would have been, I think, a bargain at 4 years, around $85 million. But they may look at Chris Paul in the offseason, get a veteran in there. And I thought with Chris Paul, that could have been a difference maker for this team to win the East. I think that much of Chris Paul. But I'm jumping ahead of myself. So the Bucks did the right thing last night. They know how to win in the regular season. But there is a completely different mindset when you get to the postseason. It's about half court. Can you play half court offense, half court defense? Because you're not letting teams run up and down the floor. And if you let Milwaukee run up and down the floor, you get wide open looks for Brook Lopez. The Greek Freak is able to do what he wants. Eric Bledsoe. You got Chris Middleton. They're able to get their shots. Miami played great defense, team defense. They knew exactly what they were going to do in slowing down the Greek Freak and making everybody else try to beat them. So Miami moves on. They wait for the winner of the Celtics and the Raptors. Here is Charles Barkley after last night's exit with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Listen, I hope Giannis does like a Michael Jordan or Dirk Nowitzki. Don't just be a chump and try to join another organization. Battle through it. Michael Jordan just said, I'm going to get better. Dirk Nowitzki said, I'm just going to keep getting better. And they end up winning the championship. You know, I hope he doesn't become a chump and just jump to another organization. Listen, I think he got to. I hope he signs the max deal this summer and say, I'm going to win in Milwaukee. You know, I could join a super team and win, but I want to still have my own legacy and identity.
And Charles, obviously there's been talk, and I said this, 2 games ago, there was already whispers of the Greek Freak where he's going to end up when he leaves Milwaukee. You know, everybody wants to have that hot take. Man, maybe it's Miami, maybe it's Toronto, maybe it's Golden State. And the possibility of Golden State giving up a contract and some draft picks, and maybe the Greek Freak goes there. But he's due $220 million, which is $80 million more that he can get from another team. Here is the Greek Freak about wanting to stay in Milwaukee.
Nobody's going to be happy, you know, for the outcome that we had in that playoff run. But at the end of the day, you got to learn from everything that goes on in your life and in your career. And hopefully we can learn from this and, get better as a team and come back. And hopefully we can build a culture in Milwaukee that for many years that we can come out here and compete every single year for a championship.
The question is, he can go a long way in saying what's going to happen in the future. If he decides that he says, give me the Supermax, I'm staying here, he can force his way out. He can say, look, I'm not going to sign that. And then Milwaukee is forced to then go, what can we get in return? You're not going to get, you know, 100 pennies on the dollar here. You're going to get 70% probably, 70 cents instead of a dollar on trading him. And then what do you get in return? So it's a sensitive time for the Milwaukee Bucks, because I look at that team and they're a good regular season team. And there are good regular season teams. But I looked at them and I said, in the postseason, can Greek Freak get his own shot? Can you count on these other players? You know, you had George Hill. Did he want to be there? Not want to be there? You know, when they decided that they were going to cancel a game against Orlando, they didn't play well once they got to the bubble. This wasn't just the Miami Heat. That I just felt like they weren't in a hurry. There was no urgency there. I don't think they understood that you got to get it going, got to get it going now. And you got to come together and you have to decide, you know, who you are and what you want to accomplish here. And it didn't look that way. The minutes restriction on the Greek Freak prior to the ankle injury, I didn't understand that. I mean, the great players play, and this is when I need you to play. And I'm going to see the same thing when it comes to Kawhi and LeBron. The great players need to play minutes. And unless they thought, hey, we can get by the Miami Heat, and I want to make sure that Giannis is healthy to go into the Eastern Conference Finals. But I didn't understand that. Now, if he had an injury prior to it, then maybe that'll surface. But you go back to when Tim Duncan was with the Spurs, and look at those first 5 years in the postseason. He's averaging 40 minutes. Why can't I get the same out of the Greek Freak? And that, to me, was a difference maker, because I needed him out there to play more minutes. Look at the times when they would sit him down and then a team would go on a run. Like, I have to have him out there. I think the Miami Heat were a better team, but I think Milwaukee could have put up a better fight. But, the Greek Freak has a decision to make, and hopefully he stays in Milwaukee. I'm all for the players who stay in a city that drafted them, but I do understand this. You know, it's a business. And the Greek Freak may look around and go, are they going to build a team around me? A championship caliber team. And he might look at this and go, is Eric Bledsoe going to help me win a championship? Is Chris Middleton? Can I expect the same out of Brooke Lopez? I mean, this is a good defensive team. But I have serious concerns about their offense and their ability to create shots in a half-court offense. And I think you saw that against the Miami Heat. Yeah, Paul.
Isn't this kind of simple for the Milwaukee Bucks management? Don't you just go to him tomorrow morning and say, here's the max we can offer you for the longest amount of time. Here you go. And that's it. It's unlike football, where it's more of a sliding scale and it changes every 6 months, the max pay rate. There's a max pay they can give him. There's a max dollar. And just say, here it is. And if he says, not now, then you know what you're getting.
Well, he's probably going to. And what my advice would be is, tell me what our plan is. You can offer me that money, but it might be a sign and trade as well, where he just says, hey, I want that money, but I want you to trade me. Or you can say, what kind of free agents are we going to go after? Are we going to go into the luxury tax here? And that's what they have to decide. Because if you say, well, we're a small market team, then you're probably not going to have big market dreams. And I think that would be a concern if I'm the Greek Freak. All right, McLevin, you got a poll question. By the way, this program brought to you by LegalZoom. Need to make it legal? Make it LegalZoom.com. Visit LegalZoom.com today. Take care of the things you need to get done without having to leave your home. That's LegalZoom.com.
Okay, yeah, the two questions we were just going over. If you were Giannis, would you want to stay in Milwaukee? Yes or no? How do you think people would vote on that?
I need to know what else you're doing. I think it's a nice roster, but it's not a roster that scares me. And that's, if I'm the Greek Freak, I know that, you know, we talked about, oh, he's a Scottie Pippen. Okay, you're not getting a Michael Jordan. I mean, Chris Middleton is your Scottie Pippen to the Greek Freak's Michael Jordan. But is that good enough? Your version of that, those two. And I don't know if it is. I like Middleton. I think he played extremely well when the Greek Freak was out. I don't know about the backcourt situation. I'd like to have a little bit more of a threatening backcourt there. Can you keep asking Brooke Lopez to do what he's doing? And then, you know, what kind of depth do you have? Like, does a free agent want to go there and play? And I don't know if any free agents want to go there and play. So now, what are you going to do in the draft? And who else can you add? Are you going to trade? What are you going to trade? Yeah, McLovin.
The flip question, if you're the Bucks and assume that he says no to the Supermax offer that's coming, do you listen to trade offers?
Yeah.
But they're saying they're not going to. That's what every report says. There's not, it's not even on the table for the Bucks.
Well, it's right now. This just happened. This is fresh. What happens if you go into the season and you know he's walking at the end of the season? Do you think the Milwaukee Bucks are going to go, hey, it's okay, just play out this season here and then we'll let you go? That ain't happening. So I think at some point you're going to have, you know, the come to Jesus meeting and go, what are we doing here? But if I'm the Greek Freak, I want to know, what are you doing for me? Like, why do I want to stay? Now you're going to say, well, we're going to give you the money. He knows he's going to get the money. The question is, what are you going to do? And I don't know what that game plan is, but I would certainly listen to that before I'd sign that contract. Yeah, McLovin.
Can I give a classic sports radio call question here? If the T-Wolves called with the number one pick in Karl-Anthony Towns tomorrow, would you do that?
If I know I'm not going to get him and keep him?
Yeah, say Giannis does not sign the Supermax whenever that's available. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay. The number one pick in Karl-Anthony Towns.
By the way, what I'm reading is at some point this summer, they're going to know what the Supermax is and they're going to be able to make him an offer. So they'll know the first volley from Giannis, right?
Well, I'm reading here on ESPN.com, the Bucks will offer the Greek Freak a Supermax contract when eligible later this year, a deal that could be worth $220 million or $80 million more than he could get from another team as a free agent in 2021. So they sort of have the ballpark figure here.
Right, with the cap being in flux, though, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's still going to decide whether he's going to stay there or not.
But he'll say no. If he says no in October or whenever that comes, then you know. He said, what if he says, I want to wait a year and see how it plays out? Then you're in limbo if you're the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, these are all hypotheticals, but I'm just saying, if I'm the Greek Freak, I'm waiting. I just want to wait, see what we're doing. Let's take some time off. Let me get the ankle healed, and let me kind of distance myself from this feeling that I have right now. And then we can come back, sit down, and discuss what is the future here. Lakers looked impressive last night. You know, the Rockets got to win one of these games. You got Harden and Westbrook, who are scoring 30 a game. And when they score 30 each, it's a little different than when the Lakers have LeBron and Anthony Davis score 30. That's when the Lakers win, when that happens. And they played really good defense last night. But the Rockets, you got to pick off one of these games, another one of these games, or this is going to end up with the Lakers winning it in five. But they win last night. They're up 2-1, 36 for LeBron. And it's those moments that you want out of your great players where you just say, I got this. Don't worry. LeBron is out there directing everybody on defense. Like, you talk about being all in. He certainly was last night. And Anthony Davis looked great as well. But you got basketball coming up tonight with the Raptors and the Celtics game 6, Clippers and the Nuggets. Reggie Miller will join us coming up a little bit later on. What else do you have, McLovin?
I'm jumping ahead with this one. I threw it out there this morning and got no reaction. Who has a better supporting cast, Kawhi Leonard or LeBron James? And I'm not giving you a Rajon Rondo 8 for 11 every night.
Yeah, Rondo was great last night. Fourth quarter. But this is what you want with Rondo. Rondo gives you this. He's not regular season Rondo. But postseason Rondo, he's dangerous. And he's so smart. Having him out there in these kind of moments, they're not too big for him. He's been in them before. Very valuable. I mean, he's not a guy I want to rely on. Like, if you said your life is hanging in the balance and he's taking a jumper, probably wouldn't do that with Russell Westbrook either. By the way, man, can you tell, like, when Russ is dribbling the ball as much as he is and the Lakers are basically going, go ahead, shoot. Like they're 5 feet off of him. They're saying, go ahead, shoot. Tough. Tough watching that. And he's not afraid to shoot. He took 24 shots last night.
They said, go ahead and shoot. He said, okay.
Yeah. Hey, coach, I'm open. Yeah, you don't have to take every shot. There's a reason why you're open. Yes, McLovin.
So he hit a lot of shots last night, but he had 13 to 24, but he was still minus 14 on the plus minus. Like they lose when he makes a basket, almost hurts the team.
Yeah, and they're stuck with this because you gave up those four first round picks. By the way, Billy Donovan out in Oklahoma City was Chris Mannix hinted at this last week, where he just said, not quite sure what's going on with Billy Donovan in Oklahoma City. Now, I thought Ty Lue was getting the Sixers job. Now, if I'm the Sixers, I'm at least kicking the tires on Billy Donovan. But I don't know what Billy Donovan wants to do. I don't know if he wants to go back to college. He's got a Hall of Fame career going. And I don't know if he wants to stay in the NBA or maybe go back to college. But I was a little bit surprised. Unless Billy Donovan says, I don't want to be part of a rebuild here. I already was. I don't want to be part of a rebuild. Because that's what it feels like. I would be surprised if Chris Paul is there next season. And you do have some young players. I like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander a lot. You have a couple of really nice young players there, but it feels like Oklahoma City might be a rebuild. Like they went as far as they could go. Maybe you got a rebuild coming up there, but the fact that Billy Donovan and the Oklahoma City Thunder parted ways, I found really interesting. Yeah, McLevin.
I'm getting excited as a Sixers fan. Billy Donovan, Ty Lue, these all sound like pretty fun options.
Yeah. I think that probably will be considered an upgrade, but it's you don't know what you have. You still don't know what you have with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And you should know by now, but you don't. And you got two talented players who could be future Hall of Fame players. But you're still not quite sure just how good that team can be. And if those two can play with one another. Yeah, McLevin.
How about, and Mike D'Antoni, is he going to be out there?
Well, Daryl Morey says that it's Mike D'Antoni's job if he wants to come back.
Sort of.
And I go, I don't think Mike D'Antoni is coming back.
By choice?
Yeah.
Ooh, saucy.
Yeah. It's just a gut feeling.
Because he has another job waiting for him and he knows
know.
It?
Well,
you move before you get fired. That's the Jimbo Fisher move.
Yeah, you always know that you got a job before you leave a job.
Right.
Like the best time to find a job is when you have a job.
Or if there's rumblings that you're going to be fired, get the best job you can.
Well, I thought, and it felt like all indications pointed towards him, if they don't get to the Western Conference Finals, that he was going to be shown the door. But Daryl Morey, the GM, I think is on record as saying that if Mike wants to stay, he can stay. I think he feels like he's probably taken that team as far as he can go. And when you get guys like Harden and Westbrook who get set in their ways, then what role does he have as the coach? I think if you said he could go coach New Orleans and get that a younger team and have that excitement, that might be interesting to him. But I don't have any inside information on that. I just get a gut feeling that, D'Antoni, if they bow out to the Lakers, probably won't come back to Houston. Let me take a break. We'll settle on a poll question. We'll have phone calls coming up. If you're a person who likes to look at over-unders and win totals, we got something for you coming up next hour. Get you ready for the start of the NFL season. My NFL Super Bowl pick will be made tomorrow during the show. Final hour of the show. Yes, Paul?
Has it been made in your head yet?
Yeah. I've been on this one for a little while. Like I didn't struggle with this, and I'm trying to reconsider just so I don't, you don't just ask the first girl to dance. And this one, I'm asking the first girl to dance. Yeah, McLevin.
Can we get a hint?
No.
Anything? Nothing?
No, because it affects the Vegas odds. I mean, that this, the odds will move. I don't want to wake up Vegas and say, guys, I'm ready to make my Super Bowl pick. All right.
You mean like when you reported the NFL was going to expand their playoffs and Goodell put it off for 5 years?
Yes, he did.
Just to get it.
Just to spite me, the commissioner said, wait, what did he say? Oh, we got to hold that off for 5 years.
That's happening this year, by the way. I just think we need to send out a public reminder that they're expanding the NFL playoffs.
Oh, I know.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah. 5 years too late. All right. 20 after the hour. Take a break back after this. Football's back. DraftKings is ready to go. One Day Fantasy Sports has millions of reasons why you should be excited. To kick off the football season, DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at $1 million top prize. Total of $3 million up for grabs this Thursday with the football contest. Get in on Thursday night's single game showdown. It's easy. All you have to do, download DraftKings using the promo code SQUAD. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching a game like having a shot at $1 million payday. Download the DraftKings app now. Promo code SQUAD. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize and $3 million in total prizes. Don't miss this extra special week one bonus. Enter code SQUAD and get a free shot at the $1 million top prize, your first deposit. That's SQUAD as your promo code, only at DraftKings. Make it ring. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. I'm talking some football during the commercial break. Got some hot takes coming up. Not really. Us five morons. We got hot takes coming up. Here's the headline. Rockets GM Daryl Morey says re-signing coach Mike D'Antoni after season a top priority. It's super important. All right. I mentioned Rondo's greatness in the postseason. He got his 1,000th career postseason assist last night. Among active players, only LeBron has more. LeBron has almost 800 more, but he's a 12th all-time with at least 1,000 postseason assists. Having that experience this time of the year, and hit a couple big shots last night. You know, what I love about him is he's not afraid, you know, but not afraid in a good way, whereas Russell Westbrook's not afraid, but sometimes that can be in a bad way. And I don't want to knock on Russ that much. I do love watching him play. I'm fascinated watching him play. But I just wonder if small ball is, if can you be good enough to win four games in a series against a quality opponent? And I have my doubts. It's the same thing I had with the Milwaukee Bucks. I love the Miami Heat as a team, and I got an opportunity to watch a whole lot more of them this year. I just love the makeup of the team. And Duncan Robinson, Goran Dragic, obviously Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, that's a really good team. And you got shooters, and you got, you know, Butler's not afraid. Adebayo is an all-star, and, you know, they're going to be a tough out if it's the Raptors or the Celtics. It'd be a great matchup. All right, what other possible poll questions do we have?
This is a Pauly special. Which player is on a new team in the next year? We got Giannis, Aaron Rodgers, of course, after this year.
Okay.
Dak Prescott. Who's franchise tagged this year.
Right.
We were trying to expand. I heard some rumblings that Aaron Judge and the Yankees are on different pages. They have a free agency coming up after 2022. I don't know who else we can. Is there any other big star who might switch teams? And I did want to point out to all my New York friends how bad the Yankees are.
I know they lost again. You know, the Yankees and Aaron Judge could get on the same page if Aaron Judge got on the same field as his teammates. Maybe that would help.
Well, that's the issue, yeah.
I mean, with him, Giancarlo Stanton, like, they, come on, get on the field. These guys are injury prone. It's a short season. You've been resting for months. You may miss the playoffs here.
Yeah, I can't think. Are there any other major stars who are? Mike Trout seems set, and he's got that huge deal, the Angels.
Yeah, and I don't think it sounds like he wants out, where he goes, hey, I'm worried about my legacy. If I don't win a championship, then people are going to view me differently. I haven't heard anything, you know, like that from Mike Trout, or if that's even part of his personality. You know, it feels like he's going to be loyal, Angels loyal to him. Now just, you know, how about get a good pitching staff there? But Giannis would probably lead the charge. Aaron Rodgers, not after this year, but the following year, I think. Dak Prescott, I don't think is going anywhere. Yeah, Paul.
What if the Dallas Cowboys didn't make the playoffs or the Green Bay Packers didn't make the playoffs? How much would that exacerbate their situations?
Well, I don't think that Jordan Love is ready to play now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you said Cowboys didn't make the playoffs, why didn't they make the playoffs? If Dak Prescott had a bad year, I mean, they didn't make the playoffs last year, and he had a really good year. I think you're going to see more of Ezekiel Elliott this season. I think that they go back to a running attack, leading the charge to the, because it was Dak Prescott and then it was Ezekiel Elliott. Now I think Mike McCarthy might flip that and go, you know what? Let's lead with Ezekiel Elliott and then complement with Dak Prescott. Yes, McLeod.
I think I'm voting Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that's if you think that the Greek Freak is going to stay, then Aaron Rodgers would be the other guy on there. He'd move to the top of the list. I don't think Dak Prescott's going anywhere. I did wonder if Jerry Jones was waiting another year to see what Dak Prescott could do. I mean, that was the feeling I got, because there was no reason why they didn't sign him 17 months ago. You could have signed him and it would have turned out to have been a bargain. Now, not going to be a bargain, because Dak Prescott is going to, rightfully so, want what Deshaun Watson got, if not more. He's not going to get Patrick Mahomes. What if the Cowboys win the Super Bowl? Just saying. The value, he's got all the leverage, because they have spent money. They used their draft picks. They got offensive weapons here. I'm expecting Dak Prescott to have a big year here. You know, he's running, he's got no excuses. Like, he can't be so bad in games they lose and so great in games they win. And that was the difference last year. They were average. And if you look at Dak, he was average because he was so bad in bad games. He was so great in good games, and it just leveled out. You can't outscore your opposition by over 100 points and finish 8-8. They had 113 more points than their opponents, and they finished 8-8 in a bad division. Yeah, McLeod.
The game was that Thanksgiving loss in the Bills.
Yeah.
I was like, what happened? They just disappeared.
Yeah. Bills are getting a lot of love nationally. A lot of love. I always get nervous when you know, somebody gets too much love. Remember the Browns last year, and I go, I don't even like them making the playoffs. Bears got a lot of love. The previous year, I had the Bears making the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, hey, Bears, man. I'm going, too much love. Like, the Lions got a lot of love this year. And then you start to get nervous. The Dolphins getting a lot of love this year. And you go, okay. Yeah, McLeod.
There's way more, like, people are like, this team's going to be 10-6, and this team's going to be 2-14. There's not a lot of that. People don't like to predict it.
Well, it feels like everybody is 7-9, 8-8, or if all goes well, 9-7. Like, it just feels like the over-unders are 7.5, 8, 8.5. Everybody kind of is lumped in there. And like Denver, I think Denver was 7.5. I don't know what they are now with Von Miller perhaps gone for the season. And I do like them because they have some weapons. I just don't know if Drew Lock, you know, is he going to be great or even very good? And if that's the case, then Denver has a chance to be interesting. I think the Raiders are going to be good. Yeah, I might be in the minority there. I think the Raiders are going to be good. Moving into the new place, and you know, Derek Carr got a little pressure on him here. That might not be a good thing, but and then you got Kansas City, and you got it feels like it's, you know, top heavy with Kansas City and Baltimore, and then you probably have three or four teams that, you know, are right there beneath them. Yeah, Paul.
It's funny you said you like the Raiders, because I was looking at the numbers. I had the Raiders as maybe being one of the three worst teams in the league this year.
Okay.
If I were, I don't know if I would bet. I would bet the under on their over-under wins.
What's their over-under?
Checking. They were 7-9 last year. I think they lost four of their last five. They were outscored by 106 points. It's funny. And they were still 7-9.
Yeah.
We're going to check the over-under.
Okay. It's probably 6.5 for them. Something like that. What other poll
question?
7.5. 7.5?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which makes sense. They were 7-9.
Paulie's going all in. He's going all in on the under. Oh, he got his wallet out and his phone.
Got to call my guy. I still owe money for that Dallas Mavericks Western Conference final bet. I lost 50.
Yeah. What else do you have, McLovin?
Okay. Back to NFL. One second here.
All right.
Oh, Saints, Bucks. Who's winning the NFC South? As long as we're able to throw out NFL questions. Do you realize they're playing this weekend and how amazing that's going to be?
Yeah.
That's a heated debate in Vegas, who wins that division. The Saints are the favorite.
And I was all in on the Buccaneers, even if Brady didn't go there. Because I thought if Teddy Bridgewater went there, he's going to take care of the football, and that team is going to win at least 9 games. Now Brady is there, and then everybody, it feels like, all in on the Buccaneers. They're going to be hosting the Super Bowl in Tampa. And I have to pump the brakes now. Because I just, like, you throw all these personalities, all this talent in there, and it doesn't work. I mean, it's really difficult to make it work. And no offseason.
You're one of those guys who likes a band when they're unknown, and then everyone likes them, and you jump off. Like, you were probably like a Spin Doctors fan when you saw them at some local pub, and then they hit, and you're like, I'm bailing on these jokes.
Well, I don't know if they ever really hit. No, but,
a couple months later.
Yeah, like Toad the Wet Sprocket or right. Somebody like that.
You bailed on them once they hit. You're doing that with the Bucks.
No, but I stayed with Hootie and the Blowfish.
Wire to wire.
When they hit, I was there, and when they faded the dark days... Behind the Music, the Dark Days of Hootie and the Blowfish.
They're your jean shorts. You were wearing jean shorts, and you, when they went out of style, you kept them on.
I didn't.
And then you kept them right through when they're popular.
I wasn't going to leave Hootie. I stayed by their side.
Respect.
Yeah.
Behind the Music, though, was we were just too popular.
Yeah.
That was what they had to overcome. Everybody loved us so much, they hated us.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, everybody else is going into rehab, car accidents, nearly dying, yeah. Band members who are dead, brought back to life. Hootie and the Blowfish is, we got too popular too soon.
We just didn't get enough respect. It was really hard.
And it's the only Behind the Music that didn't go an hour because they just didn't have enough to fill it.
Well, now we're back. So
I joined a higher tax rate after year one. It was terrible.
Yeah, McLevin.
Do you guys get the Gin Blossoms, Spin Doctors, and Blues Traveler songs mixed up at this point? I feel like there was that genre.
Well,
that
isn't there only one Blues Traveler song?
Yes, that they redo.
Whatever that song is.
Is the Runaround or whatever it is?
Great harmonica band.
Yeah.
One of the best harmonica focused bands. Yeah.
It's like there's a whole group, Collective Soul. There's a bunch of bands that kind of you throw in there and you go, that was a generation. Yes.
Right. Yeah, we all jammed to them in 1998. Come on. Yeah.
Gin Blossoms had some good songs.
Yeah.
They really did.
I know. They're good.
Hey, Jealousy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right? Okay. That whole album is like front to back. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I said Gin Blossoms and Jimmy Eat World walked in here simultaneously, would anyone know the difference?
Oh, Mike, are you kidding me?
Sorry, Seton.
First of all, just even to compare them to, what's that Two Princes band you just mentioned?
Spin Doctors.
Spin Doctors? What? Oh. Ugh.
Didn't we know the drummer for Jimmy Eat World?
Yeah, Zach.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. Yeah, I think you had wings with him.
Yeah, in Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know any of their songs. So it was kind of, it was a challenging conversation because he was a fan and I couldn't reciprocate and I should have done homework. Like I should have Googled Jimmy Eat World. So I go, hey, boy, that song, whatever.
Well, I think I was supposed to go with you guys.
Yes, you would have helped.
Yeah, I would have easily bridged that gap. But then they're like, oh, no, you guys have to stay here for the next 2 hours. Like, oh, okay. Well, you guys go have fun.
I know.
I'm going to stay at this.
And then he just was asking me sports questions. I didn't know what to ask him about the band. Like, who came up with Jimmy Eat World? And I think the lead singer's...
Little brother,
like do a cartoon or drawing, Jimmy Eat World. And that's about as far as we got. I'd say, you want another beer? Yeah, sure. And that was it.
Anywho.
Okay.
Phoenix, huh?
All right. Yeah. Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All right, let me take a break here. We got our play of the day coming up. The Cardinals locked up DeAndre Hopkins. Or maybe it's the other way around since he negotiated his own deal. Von Miller may miss the season, and the NFL starts tomorrow night. Are you ready? Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. 2, 3, 4. Is this Gaslight Anthem?
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Playing for a big inning. That's a high fly ball to right field. Calhoun's going back on it. Gavin Lux with a second home run of the night.
A skyscraping three-run shot against Lopez, and they've broken it open in the 10th.
Courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet LA, Dodgers sit atop the National League West, 4.5-game lead over the Padres. Padres hit another grand slam last night. And I don't know the last time the team's first hit of the game was a grand slam. That happened with the Padres last night, which is kind of interesting. Play of the day. Play of the day is brought to you by LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com to take care of the things that you need to get done without having to leave your home. That's LegalZoom.com. Now we're knee-deep in 90s bands. Gin Blossoms, Spin Doctors, Counting Crows. Round here, Black Crows, Soul Asylum, Bare Naked Ladies, Blues Traveler, Blind Melon, Third Eye Blind.
Better Crows band.
I'm going to go... The critics would love the Black Crows more.
Yeah. She Talks to Angels was a really good song.
Yes, it is.
Hard to Handle is a good song, too.
Yeah, Black Crows... There was always drama, yeah. But I think that's a true rock and roll band.
Don't you think if you're in a band with two brothers always fighting and you're not a brother, you're just like, would you guys just shut up?
Oasis.
Yeah, I know. But don't you think like the guy that was the drummer was like, would these two just stop already? Yeah. Why is it so hard to just tour the world making millions of dollars? Why? What's so difficult about this?
Yes, Paul.
I'm looking at the list. Blind Melon had a quick career. Their lead singer died early, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember band to band.
Shannon Hoon.
Hoon. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, McLovin.
So I listed the top song for each of these bands. I got to take Seton out of this one because he's been on fire with. But if you can name the band, I'll say the song. You already got most of them. Hey, Jealousy.
Is that Gin Blossoms?
Yeah. Oh, my God. You got it. Two Princes. Seton said it last segment.
Blind Melon.
Spin Doctor.
Spin Doctor.
Spin Doctors.
Jealous Again.
That's Black Crows.
Yeah. Oh, you're good at this. Runaway Train. Remember that one?
Runaway Train, Never Going Back. Wrong Way on a One-Way Track.
Soul Asylum.
Nice.
Runaround.
That'd be Blues and the Travelers.
Yeah.
Semi-Charmed Life.
Semi-Charmed Life.
Ugh. Okay, this is another band that everybody hates, but that album, front to back, is fantastic. It really is. Third Eye Blind.
Okay.
I don't remember which album it is, but whatever one has that song on it, it's really, really good.
And I dare Seton to sing this one, 1 Week.
It's been 1 week. Wouldn't that be Craft Interviews? Of course we would. Oh, my God.
The Bare Naked Ladies, they opened up for Hootie and the Blowfish on their last concert tour. And the lead singer was such a nice guy. He had no idea what I did, but he knew that I knew everybody in Hootie and the Blowfish. And so he realized that I was in Sandler movies. He didn't know I was a sportscaster. And so he would just talk to me about being in movies. And I found him to be a very nice guy. And they were a fun band to be around. But
they had an era. They got famous on all these goofy, sort of more goofy songs. And then they released an album where they just really wanted to be serious. And they didn't want to be these goofy dudes anymore. And people were not there for it.
They'd be like Cheech and Chong doing Shakespeare.
They'd be singing these serious songs and it'd be like, play $1 million! Like, oh, gosh, I just want to... say something serious.
Smash Mouth did not make this list.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Nor did Sugar Ray, but...
Oh.
Smash Mouth and Sugar Ray, they could tour for their eternity. Together.
Yeah. Who's the lead singer of Sugar Ray?
Mark McGrath.
Mark McGrath.
He's listening right now, no, I guarantee it.
You're right.
He might be, yeah.
You're right. He would listen all the time.
I love how defensive the Smash Mouth guy is, like on Twitter, on social media.
Yeah.
For some reason, they're sort of Nickelback-ish in that people tend to go after Smash Mouth.
Are they even as good as Nick? They're not as good as Nickelback.
I wouldn't think so. But he just like defends everything just to the death.
Well, what's
hilarious.
There to defend?
He's just like, man, screw you guys. I wrote a bunch of hit songs. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
A bunch is a stretch.
Yeah. Like, how many is a bunch?
That's at least five is a bunch.
Five's a bunch.
Like a bunch of grapes. You got to have five grapes.
He had All Star, right?
Yeah.
Walking on the Sun, that's probably a cover.
Walking on the Sun was another. That's a good poll by you,
probably. Probably a cover. I'm a Believer is a cover.
That's a cover.
And Monkees.
Yeah.
Why Can't We Be Friends cover?
This is living off that Shrek money, I guess.
Yes, McLovin.
Mark McGrath, the first time I knew that anyone recognized us, it was like first year of a thing, and he was like, the Danettes! Like, we had just gotten on air.
Where did you see him?
It was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit event.
Oh.
And he was thrilled to see us. I'm like, really? Are you sure you have the right people?
He's a nice guy. I remember being in touch with him when I was at ESPN doing radio. And I think we had him on a couple times. He's a really nice guy. All right. So I don't know if we solved anything with the soft. Why are we calling rank these soft 90s bands?
Gin Blossoms. Just a name. Gin Blossoms.
But Black Crowes aren't soft.
They're an exception, but wasn't he married to Kate Hudson for a while?
Yeah, that means that's rom-com territory. That's a rom-com.
What happened when these two brothers?
Because I Googled the top bands of the 90s and all these like hardcore, like Soundgarden, Nirvana, Alice in Chains bands came up. The critics were like, those are the bands of the 90s.
But like early 90s is a lot different than late 90s rock music.
Yeah, but it's like early 70s, late 70s, too. Like, if you go through that time period and you go, how did we get from that in the early 70s to that in the late 70s? Say hello to disco. Yes, McLean.
Yeah, how'd you go from Led Zeppelin to Leo Sayer?
I didn't. I went kicking and screaming.
Sailing away.
Criss Cross. Yeah, I know. I went kicking and screaming back then. How about, you know, you had brothers who hated each other, Ray and Dave Davies of the Kinks. I think they didn't get along either. It's just something about brothers being on the road, hating each other. All right, Barry in Long Island wants to weigh in on the top. Hi, Barry. What do you have for me today?
Good morning, fellas. 5'9", 190.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a 90s band for you.
Okay.
Fastball. The Way. Yeah.
How many hits did Fastball have? One?
That's the one.
They just had one. Sean in Indiana. Hey, Sean, what do you have?
Hey, Dan, good morning.
Good morning.
I'll be quick. You're missing two bands.
Okay.
Train
Ooh.
And Matchbox 20.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Sean.
I wouldn't say I'm missing them.
Matchbox 20, they were big. That was a pretty good run there for them. It's 3 a.m. I must be lonely.
Nice.
Yes, McLean.
Train will play anything. They're actually in back. They're doing an hour two set.
They've already written a song about this, just loaded with timely cultural references.
Doing Tai Bo.
She's run a tough mutter and she's done it.
Is that Drops of Jupiter? Pat Monahan?
Yeah, that's him.
How about we just regroup? We leave this hour behind and we just move forward.
We're talking early aughts soft rock.
We're talking football. We're talking manly stuff coming up next hour. Reggie Miller also join us from the bubble. 1 hour in the books, I think. Two more to go. Dan Patrick Show.